Ben Calcaterra, he's with Pharmacists Association, of course, pharmacists, named synonymous with the pharmacists around the area. Hi, Ben, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Good. You know, I got a lot of questions for you this morning. One, well, we could talk about fake cures first. I was, the Justice Department's already shut down its first website saying, have the cure. Just all you got to do is give us shipping. I mean, $4.95, people fall for that stuff. Availability of drugs, things along that line. Any wrinkle there for your customers across Southern Illinois and for people who need their life-saving medication?
You know, the good thing is pharmacies across the nation and of course, across our state have done a really good job of keeping the prescribing to the essential prescriptions. And that's something that we have to work together with our prescribers on to be good stewards to our community. So far, we haven't seen horrible issues with drug shortages. There are some across the board. There are some drugs that are look-ahead drugs. I'm sure everybody's heard about the hydroxychloroquine in the news being the miracle drug for the COVID-19. But, you know, we do not have enough evidence to start using that drug. It should be reserved for only the most critical in-house patients right now. And we're trying to do a good job of, like I said, being good stewards and keeping those medicines for the patients that really need them out in the community.
I guess you heard the story. I guess a couple decided something it was used for aquariums, chloroquine phosphate.
Yes, I heard that.
Right, and seeing because apparently they didn't pass their high school biology. Phosphate's bad.
Well, it can be good in certain situations when bound to the right drug and the right formulation, but that was not the correct mix.
Right. Now, there's another issue. People who need these drugs, right, you're one of the essential stores, of course, makes perfect sense. But when it comes to interacting with your pharmacist right now, that has changed for the safety of all involved.
It has.
Have you kind of developed a standard here for most pharmacies?
Yeah, so every pharmacy is different. And the one thing that I want to stress to our patients across the state is pharmacies are still open. We've had a lot of questions if we're open, if they can still get their meds, and yes, we are still open. Now, the big point that I want to stress is call your pharmacy and ask what their procedures are. Maybe they've got a website that have put their procedures out or social media that they've advertised what they're doing differently, but make sure you're aware of those procedures before you go. Most pharmacies that have drive-throughs are trying their best to shut off their lobbies so they don't have in-store personal contact with their patients, but rather using the drive-through or possibly curbside delivery and using delivery services where that's available. And even with those services, we're still doing things differently to minimize the contact. For instance, we're not taking signatures with a dirty pen handing through the window anymore. We're eliminating that. You know, we're sometimes making deliveries to people before we'll ask questions, you know, kind of clarifying if they've come in contact or if they're coughing, if they have a fever, and we won't make contact with that person, maybe leave the medicine on their doorstep. So they need to call and make sure that they know what that pharmacy's regulations are right now.
All right, yeah, and I understand that. You know, it's weird how you just come through a funnel in its own time, and you think, well, you can't come by if you're sick. Well, then why in the hell would you be going to a pharmacist? You know, it's weird how your perspective can instantly shift because, well, I understand that, and we see a lot of people flinching, but it's your business to interact. I mean, I was at your store one time with a broken back. Literally had just broken my back, and the doctor had called in prescriptions, and I'm standing there, and I'm going, I wasn't the only sick person in line. I just thought I was.
Yes. There's always a long line of sick people, and we try our best every day to minimize that contact. But right now, obviously, it's at its maximum. You know, everybody's aware, everybody. And I'd like to say that I'm very happy with both the way our patients have responded to the changes, that they've been great to work with, and our pharmacy personnel. You know, this is a fluid situation, as you know, and everything's evolving every day. My website's had updates, I think, every day for the last week about how we're changing things. And our personnel across the state's been great working with our patients and getting meds out the door safely.
All right. I'm curious about something else, and it's a good kind of curious. When the comptroller released $1 million that had been acquired through marijuana sales, using those for pharmaceutical assistance, what kind of assistance does that $1 million provide to pharmacists and their customers?
So I believe what you're referring to is the CAP Fund, which is the Critical Access Pharmacy Fund, and that was something that was started by Senator Andy Menard, who asked for a line item in the budget a few years ago and was granted. This money is a direct result of the deficiencies that we see in the pharmacy in the community setting for the managed Medicaid organizations, the MCOs that came about a few years back. When they took over Medicaid patients, they now decide what the pharmacies are being paid instead of Medicaid department deciding what pharmacies are being paid. And when that was turned over to a third-party corporate entity, the reimbursement levels fell dramatically, sometimes, most of the times, below the cost that we're actually paying for the drug. So to combat that, the emergency answer was get a line item to somehow figure out the deficiency amount and supplement that deficiency to the pharmacies. And that's where these CAP funds are coming from. It's been there for a few years, and I'll tell you, it has been a godsend to keep pharmacy doors open across the state because pharmacies are closing all the time because of these low reimbursements from PBMs. And this was a helpful Band-Aid until we get the full solution down the line.
I'm curious about one final thing before I let you go. Ben Calcaterra, pharmacist from the Pharmacist Association, joining us today. People have been having a tendency to want to get more than they may need. They're preparing to be locked down, shut down, concerns about acquiring longer periods of time in drugs. Of course, the fact that there's some regulation due to the prescription itself. How do you handle that desire for saying, look, I can't get here every day. I'm unsure of the future. I want to buy a larger amount of my prescription drugs to secure my supply. How is that handled in your arena?
Well, you know, in the beginning, a lot of the insurance companies were putting out to say, you can go ahead and get an extra 30 days ahead of the lockdown or shutdown or quarantine or whatever's happening in your area. And people were taking part in that quite regularly, which is a good thing to have a bit of an extra stockpile of medicine at home. But, like you said, some people are trying to take that to extremes. And the problem is it's taking valuable critical medicine away from those that need it. So we're trying to limit those to only the ones that need it the most, try to limit only to an extra 30 days, not an extra 90 days or 180 days, but only an extra 30 days, and trying to work with those patients to make sure they realize, you know, we as a society have now gotten into this mentality of hoarding things, everything from masks to meds. So we've got to come out of that. We've got to be, like I said earlier, good stewards to our community and think of others.
Now, there had been a lot in the media talking about availability of compounds. I know you're one of the people that custom make drugs from base compounds to make drugs. Has that become an issue in its availability when it comes to compounds that need to be combined to be able to come up with medicines?
You know, it is a great solution in times of need. Sometimes things in the past, like Tamiflu in the liquid version for children, was not available. So compounding pharmacists could take the capsules and make them into a liquid. So it's a great solution in times of need. Recently, with this situation, we haven't really come across an issue where we're using compounders for drug shortages, but what we are doing is compounders have been granted the right by the FDA to make hand sanitizers.
Oh.
So if the pharmacies can get the ingredients to make it, they've been allowed to make hand sanitizer and sell that to the public since there is none on the shelves.
Well, I know a guy makes some moonshine down in the hills. We got one ingredient. You'll have to come up with the aloe.
That's right. That's right. And there's other states that have worked with distilleries that are actually making the hand sanitizer in the distilleries with their own product. So, you know, communities are coming together across the nation to get this thing nipped in the bud.